Morning, church.
Morning.
We are going to start our session this morning. And before we do, let's ask for the Lord's help and blessing. Father in heaven, we are once again desperate need of your help, even as we come to this session. This is, Lord, one of the most difficult sessions I've ever had to teach. So I pray, Lord, for your help. And I pray also for my brothers and sisters. The Lord, may you help us to be reflecting on where we stand with what we are about to hear. May you help us, Lord, to be a church that is not only hearing your word, but may you help us to be a church that is practicing your word. So, Lord, I pray your help upon us all. May this session be used of you to continue, Lord, doing the work of sanctifying us so we may be the church that will be able to make an impact. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We are continuing our series on the respectable sins. Respectable sins. We have this far looked at worldliness. We have looked at godliness. We have looked at the sins of impatience. We have looked at sins of anger. We have looked at sins of judgmentalism and others. This morning, we are looking at the sins of the tongue. Sins of the tongue. And if you have a Bible, I would like you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Not that I'll be expounding on that passage, but I want us to use that as a filter for the rest of the session. We're going to use that as our filter. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse 29. If you are there, please read for us as loud and clear as possible. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29.
Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fit for the occasion.
Okay.
Give grace to those who hear.
Okay. So let's make some observation from that text. What is Paul saying in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, as far as our talk should not be and should be? What should our talk not be? Yes. So our talk should not be corrupt. What else? Our talk should not be corrupt. What then should our talk be?
Should be for building up.
Our talk should be for building up. What else? What is Ephesians 4:29 saying about our talk?
Should give grace to those who hear.
It should give grace to those who hear. Reading that verse already, I was convicted of my own sin. That my speech is not devoid of corruption. I was like, I think Temani should be teaching this one. To be honest, I've been convicted when I was preparing this. So as a speaker this morning, I'm not coming with a clean record. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 is an excellent doorway into the message on gossip, slander, and flattery. Because the verse we just read, it gives us God's positive standard or a filter for all speech. We speak 1,000 words every day. Some words that we speak are quickly forgotten, while other words, leave wounds for years. You could be here this morning. You have been wounded. You are bleeding because of what somebody else has said. Or somebody somewhere is bleeding because of what you have said. A careless comment can destroy a reputation, divide a family, or fracture a church. Yet, a timely word can strengthen a weary believer. A timely word can restore a broken relationship and point someone to Christ. Brothers and sisters, the Bible teaches that our words are never neutral. They are either building up or tearing down. Again, Paul captures this truth in Ephesians 4:29. Well, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. And then he says, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Who among us here can be able to say their speech is always, always giving grace to those that hear them? Imagine for a moment if every conversation you have ever had, think of every conversation you have ever had, every private comment, every whispered remark, if we were to project it there on the screen for everyone to see, would that stand the test of Ephesians 4, verse 29? Everything you have said, if we were to project it there, would you be able to say, oh, Lord, thank you for the grace that you have given me, that I've been a doer of your word, that none of my speech is actually having any corruption. My speech is always building others up. My speech is always giving grace to those that hear me. Husband and wives, would you say your speech is full of building up, full of grace? In our communities, news travels fast. Someone hears a story in the morning, and by evening, people in several villages, towns already know about it. Sometimes the story is true. Sometimes it has changed along the way. And sometimes it should never have been shared in the first place. We often laugh about how quickly news spreads. But Scripture takes our words very seriously. Your tongue has the power to encourage or destroy, to unite or to divide. Many of the deepest wounds in families, friendships, marriages, and churches are not caused by fists, but by words. Jesus himself warned us. Matthew 12:36. You know what it says? I tell you, Matthew 12:36, I tell you that everyone, no exceptions here, everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. That is a sobering reminder that nothing we say is insignificant before God. So as we look at these sins this morning, we're looking at a sin of gossip, sin of slander, and sin of flattery. If you wonder how we're going to be able to deal with all this, well, today my goal is to be able to give us the character of these sins. And Lord willing, next Sunday, we'll look at how can we deal with these sins. So I'm not going to be dwelling much, although I'll touch maybe a bit. But next week, Sunday, Lord willing, we'll begin to look at how then do we deal with these sins. It seems like the last few weeks, we've been talking about things that as Christians, we usually do not talk about. Remember a few weeks ago, we talked about sex. The sex, the gospel, and the glory of God. Now we're talking about jealousy. Last week we talked about jealousy, envy, and today we're talking about gossip, slander, sins that we don't usually talk about. But you know what? Talk about this. We need to normalize talking about these things. As a church, Herman was reminding us at a pastor's conference, I think it was during Q&A. He says it should be normal to go to a couple and ask them about physical intimacy. Something that we don't usually talk about. But my goal is not to talk about that now. We have talked about that elsewhere. But when last did you hear somebody come to you and say, brother, sister, I want you to pray for me. I'm struggling with gossip. Or when did you last go to somebody and ask them, or at least confess to them, the sin of gossip? You know what is interesting? Gossip is one of the most practiced sins in the church. And least confessed. So, Jerry Bridges calls these sins respectable sins. Our elder, Tamani, doesn't like the word respectable sins. But I'm always reminding you, no, Jerry Bridges simply means these are sins we excuse. It's not like they have got any respect in them. But there are sins we easily tolerate. Can you imagine how many relationships, friendships have been destroyed because of our mouth? So, we begin with the sin of gossip. But before you ask, who is gossiping about me? The better question is, has my tongue reflected the grace that Christ has shown me? It is possible, like you and I usually do, to be listening now to me and you're just thinking about somebody else who has gossiped up against you. Let's be clear. Everybody, you have had someone gossip about you. Yes, no. Somebody has gossiped about you. Yes, no. Yes, but that's not the worst. You know what is the worst? You, yes, you. Not blessing, you. We have gossiped. Perhaps you think you have not gossiped. I am this morning trying to just give us the character of these sins. So again, the better question as you listen is this. Has my tongue reflected the grace that Christ has shown me? So, I'd like to explain what something is not before I can explain what it is. So let's look at what gospel is not. So it is important to differentiate gossip from legitimate communication. Not every discussion about another person is sinful. It is not gossip when you seek wise counsel to help someone. Do you know that your elders gather together often to discuss about you? Are they gossiping? When church leaders discuss a member's spiritual care, that's not gossip. Yes, why is money? It is not gossip, although it can be. It is not gossip when parents discuss concerns about their children. Although it is possible, Felix and Chico can gossip about Ezra. It's not gossip when employers discuss legitimate performance issues. When you report wrongdoing to the appropriate authority, that's not gossip. When you honestly seek advice because you need biblical wisdom to help someone, it's not gossip. But I think this one is an important one. When you speak directly to those responsible for solving a problem, that's not gossip. The key difference is purpose. Is your goal to restore, protect, help, and glorify God? Or simply to share information? I just want you to know this. I'm guilty of, brother, this is only for your ears. So what is gossip? Gossip is speaking unnecessarily or carelessly about another person's private thoughts, failures, weaknesses, or circumstances to someone, this is most important, to someone who is neither part of the problem nor part of the solution. Did you catch that? Another definition is this. Gossip is sharing information that damages another person's reputation without a biblical reason for doing so. Gossip is speaking about something about somebody you wouldn't say in their face. Later on, we'll look at flattery, which is the opposite of what I just said. Gossip is saying something about somebody that you wouldn't say in their face. Yet flattery is saying something about somebody in their face that you didn't say behind their back. So, the issue is often not whether the information is true. Because sometimes someone will say, but it's true. So, true information can still be gossip. True information can also be gossip. So, let's look at the character of gossip. As I say this morning, my goal is to help us to have the picture of what gossip is, and Lord willing, we'll begin to deal with it. How do we kill this sin next Lord's Day? So gossip usually has several characteristics. First, it spreads information unnecessarily. Proverbs 11 verse 13. Proverbs 11 verse 13 says, whoever goes about Slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. Some information simply does not need to be shared. Love knows when to remain silent. So, gossip is spreading information unnecessarily. Doesn't matter if it is true. And again, before you share something, you need to ask yourself these questions, which I'll perhaps continue to repeat. Number one, is it true? Number two, is it good? Number three, is it necessary? For is it useful? Use again Ephesians 4, verse 29 as the filter. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. Let your speech impart grace to your hearers. So first character, it spreads information unnecessarily. Two, gossip enjoys hearing bad news. We call it juicy news. Gossip feeds on people's failures. It feeds on people's failures. Gossip delights in scandal. Gossip enjoys hearing the latest controversy. Instead of grieving over sin, gossip finds entertainment in it. I don't know if you're familiar with the Sunday World newspaper, Herman, in South Africa, the Sunday World. It's called a tabloid. But the Sunday World newspaper, all it does is to talk about what this person has done, what this person was doing, almost always is negative. As has been said, I did bad news what? Bad news sells. So, do you enjoy hearing bad news? You could be guilty of the sin. And let's be honest. We enjoy bad news because you know why you enjoy bad news about somebody? It makes us look good. See how sinful we are? Third character. First is, it spreads information unnecessarily. It enjoys hearing bad news. Third, gossip often disguises itself as concern. I just thought you should know about this brother, promise, so that you can pray for him, you know? I'm only sharing this with you so that you can pray. Many prayer requests are actually sanctified gossip. But here's the principle. If the person you are sharing some information with cannot help solve the problem, they probably don't need to know. Did you hear that? If the person you are sharing the information with, they will not help solve the problem, they probably do not need to know how hard it is. You have heard this juicy news. You are telling somebody you know very well they have no business in solving the problem. But why do you tell them? Fourth character. Gossip spreads quickly. Spreads quickly. Proverbs 26 verse 20 says, for lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there's no whisperer, quarreling ceases. Where there's no whisperer, quarreling ceases. So it's like gossiping is like throwing wood to a fire. What happens when you throw wood to a fire? One conversation becomes five. Five become 50. an entire church, entire family can become poisoned. Fifth character of gossip, it destroys trust. It destroys trust. Once someone becomes known as a gossip, people stop sharing personal struggles with them. Ask yourself, are people gravitated towards you to share their struggles? If they are, it's because maybe they think they can trust you. But if you're keeping wondering, why are people not coming to me? Maybe you should ask yourself why they don't do that. Trust disappears. And the relationships becomes superficial. So why is gossip so sinful? God hates gossip because it attacks something he highly values. Gossip attacks people made in his image. Every person bears God's image. So when we unnecessarily tear down another person's reputation, we attack someone God created. And James chapter 3 has a lot to say about this. And James reminds us that blessing God while cursing those made in his likeness is inconsistent at best and hypocrisy at worst. So the same tongue can be used to bless and the same tongue used to curse. Why are you glorifying God with your tongue and you're cursing somebody else who was created by God? Why is it sinful? It attacks people made in God's image. Second, it destroys what love seeks to protect. If you love somebody, guess what? Love protects. Love protects. So what business do you have sharing information that's not building somebody up? It's because you lack love. Gossip exposes. Love covers up. 1 Peter 4:8 says, love covers up a multitude of sins. Love does not mean hiding serious sin. Rather, love refuses to unnecessarily expose another person's weakness. Why is this sinful? It creates division. It creates division. Proverbs 16 verse 28 says, a dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. You know, I've gone through this in a circle of friends. Somebody says something to somebody, and somebody distorts something that was said, and there's division. Notice again Proverbs 16, verse 12. Notice the result. It says, a dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. Friendships end. Families divide. Churches split. Unity disappears. Do you see how sinful this sin of gossip is? It attacks people made in God's image. It destroys what love seeks to protect. It creates division. Fourth, it reflects Satan's work. Satan's work. What is Satan's name? What is his name? Satan. In the Greek. Diabolos. Sounds very satanic. Eh? Diabolos. It means slanderer. Slanderer. Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, the accuser of the brethren. Whenever we delight in accusing and spreading damaging reports, we imitate the work of the devil rather than of Christ. And God hates gossip. Turn to Proverbs 6. This is sinful. That's why God hates it. Look at what God hates in Proverbs 6, 16 to 19. Proverbs 6, 16 to 19. Bully, if you're there, please read for us. 16 to 19.
There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers.
Mm. Notice that sowing discord is listed alongside murder and lying. Why? It's because unity among God's people is precious to him. Psalm 133 says, "Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters dwell in unity." Gossip tears apart what Christ died to unite. Jesus shed his blood to create one family. And gossip tears that family apart. How does this happen? Gossip is relational poison. It destroys relationships in several ways. It creates suspicion. People begin wondering, what are they saying about me? Trust evaporates. It destroys openness. And people stop confessing sin. They stop asking for prayer. Because this prayer request may turn up as a gossip session. People become guarded. Authentic fellowship disappears. How are you doing? I'm good. And it creates cliques, functions. People start taking sides. This one doesn't get along with that one doesn't get along with that one, and people take sides. Instead of unity, cliques develop even in the house of the Lord. It damages reputations permanently. Even after repentance, gossip often leaves lasting scars. I think this is more common to my next point, but let me ask this. Who killed our late vice president, SKC? Accident. How is this question answered? I had somebody actually almost in tears. This is an elderly man. He's talking in parliament. He's saying, "Chair, I'm pleading with you. Some of us have belt our names for long periods of time. Please protect us. There are some people accusing us of orchestrating SKC's death. Maybe some of you know what I'm talking about. A person's name can be damaged for years because of one careless conversation. This is very sinful. But you know why? What? It distracts from the gospel. It distracts from the gospel. Instead of talking about Christ, we talk about people. Instead of celebrating grace, we celebrate failure. I may not have chapter and verse for this, but I strongly believe that many times people that are consumed with just spending time discussing people, gossiping, I do believe one of the reasons is because these are usually people that are not filled with the Word of God. If you are filled with the Word of God, our conversations should be talking more about the Word of God, talking more about how we can build each other up. But if you are empty, what are you going to talk about? And you know why we talk about other people? Again, as I said earlier, we want to feel good about ourselves. We want to make other people look bad. But if you have been in the book of Galatians, you are excited about the book of Galatians, how Paul is saying justification is by grace alone. You're seeing Paul is rebuking Peter. Can you imagine if that is what is exciting you? And then we meet with your brother or a sister, and then you kind of like say, man, this is what I was learning. This is what I was studying this morning. What do you think about your own study? What are you studying this morning, this week, last week? Imagine if those characterizes our conversations as a church. So why is gossip so acceptable? Why is gossip so acceptable? This is perhaps the most convicting question. Again, for those who are just joining us, looking at the respectable sins of the tongue, and I said earlier, I'm finding it difficult to teach this because I am guilty of what I'm teaching this morning. I've sinned against God, and I've sinned against those created in His image. You know why this is acceptable? Because it feels harmless. There are no visible consequences immediately. No one gets arrested, no property stolen, yet reputations die quietly. And if there is somebody who says something about somebody, all of a sudden, your perspective of that person changes. Not because you have done due diligence to find out for yourself, but because they have told you something about somebody, the way you look at them changes. Why is this acceptable? Because everyone does it. Sadly, this has become culturally normal. Let's be honest. It sometimes feels enjoyable. People naturally enjoy inside information. But also there's a sinful curiosity about the failures of others. Proverbs 18 verse 8 says, the words of a whisperer are like delicious morsels. Let's be honest, gossip is attractive to our sinful nature. I hate gossip. No. If you're honest, we love gossip. You know why? It makes you feel superior. Hearing about another person's failure often makes you feel better about yourself. You know what the Bible calls that? Pride. And we disguise it. We call it what? instead of calling what it is, we call it, it's concern. Or I'm just trying to be transparent. Or I'm just using it for prayer request. But changing the label doesn't change the sin. Gossip is not simply spreading false information. Even true information can be sinful if shared unnecessarily. And also, gossip is not just about a matter of you talking about the gossip, but you who's listening to the gossip, you also have got a responsibility, but that will deal with it next Lord Sunday, the Lord willing. So perhaps we say, me, I don't gossip. Okay, do you listen to trash? Do you listen when other people are being teared down? Do you engage? Somebody says something, really? No, they didn't say it. And the reason why I'm saying that, you want them to say more. So again, truth alone is not the issue. The real question is this. Is it necessary for you to share this information? Is it loving for you to share this information? Is it loving? Does it honor God for you to share this information? And you know, the sin of gossip is rooted in other sins. What did I mention? Pride, but also self-righteousness. Self-righteousness. Lack of love. It is lack of love. As we already said, love covers up. It's also a desire for attention. Now, I do understand that this might be a bit complex for some people in some spaces, like the media space, right? You need to be the one who breaks the news, right? And I'm not saying that is necessarily sinful. If you are employed as a journalist and you need to be able to break the news. But again, you need to filter this with what we have been saying. But there's a desire for attention. Sometimes it's envy, envy. We looked at envy last week. Sometimes maybe you're jealous about somebody. Guess what? If you have heard that they have done something that good, you feel good about it. No, no, no. If you're a Christian, guess what? Grieve over their sin. Be broken by their sin. But another problem is selfish ambition. A colleague has received a terrible appraisal from their boss. Now, this colleague, perhaps you report to them, or else, as far as you climbing the corporate ladder, they are in front of you, ahead of you, and then if their report is not good, or they have messed up somewhere, somehow, how do you feel? As Christians, we have a huge responsibility. Instead of mourning someone else's sin, we sadly exalt ourselves. But brothers and sisters, turn to Romans chapter 1. I want you to see this. Although Christians often treat gossip lightly because it is socially acceptable, yet Scripture places it alongside sins such as malice, slander, deceit, envy, and hatred. Are you there? Romans 1. Verse 29 says, they were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are what? Do you see? They are gossips. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, maliciousness. Sorry. Insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil. Friends, the point is, the fact that this sin is common does not make it small. Love should govern our speech. Before speaking about another person, we should ask whether our words are true, necessary, helpful, and motivated by genuine love. Those who attended the Bible study yesterday, we're being challenged. Love should be genuine. Am I sharing this out of love? Or do I want to paint this person black? What's the gospel's answer to gossip? The answer to gossip is not simply keeping quiet. It is a heart transformed by the gospel. Do you want to see somebody who is maturing? It's a person who hates gossip. Ask yourself if you are matured. It's a heart that has been transformed by the gospel. Jesus never used his words to destroy sinners, but to serve sinners. Though he knew every hidden fault of those around him, John chapter 1, verse 14 says, although he knew our hearts, he was full of grace and truth. Imagine if some people knew every thought you have about them. At the cross, Jesus bore not only our sinful actions, but our sinful words, including every careless conversation and every act of gossip. Those who have received such mercy should become a people who extend mercy to others. Before speaking about someone else, ask the question, will these words build up or tear down? Does this conversation reflect the grace Christ has shown me? A church where believers refuse to gossip becomes a place of safety. Becomes a place of trust, a place of confession, restoration, and deep unity. Such speech adorns the gospel and reflects the character of the one who prayed that his people may all be one. That's the first point. That's 45 minutes later. So I'm debating now. Let me just say, I'm not going to be able to finish. I'll finish, Lord willing, next week. Because I started to talk about gossip, and I've not even exhausted gossip. And I've got slander and flattery. So I need just to mention one. Which one should we go for, slander or flattery? Let's do flattery. Slander next week. Is that okay? Okay, so what is flattery? So I said gossip is what you say behind somebody's back, something that you didn't say in their face, right? Flattery is something you say in promises face, but you can't say it behind his back. Flattery says more than what is true. It elevates people beyond what is accurate. Rather than speaking honestly, it tells people what they want to hear. So flattery, I said, number one, it exaggerates praise. to its sixth personal advantage. Proverbs 29 verse 5 says this: a man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. Flatter is like a bait. Like yesterday I got a call for my daughter. And she said, "Dad, you know you're my favorite person in this world, eh?" I said, "I don't have money." Before she could ask anything, "I don't have money." Because I knew where that was going. So flattery hopes to gain influence, approval, promotion, protection, or some benefit. Flattery fears people more than God. So flattery often grows from a desire to please people rather than please God. Instead of speaking the truth in love, we tell others whatever will make them happy. Flattery avoids necessary truth. You know that you are a flatterer when you avoid difficult conversations. You know how we are as Malawians. We rather pimbiliza the issue, right? But as Christians, we need to be able to be willing to have difficult conversations because love demands that. But what usually happens is if Chico goes and speak truth to some sister or brother, sometimes the relationship is strained. How could she, right? However, if you are a Christian filled with the Holy Spirit, you should be able to say, "Wow, look at how this child of God will come to me and speak to me about my own life." Flattery praises when correction is needed. It keeps silent because honesty might cost something. Again, I'm just looking at the character of flattery. So, it exaggerates praise. It seeks personal advantage. I'm sure you've seen also this. When someone wants to ask you for something, hey, abana. And then last is katupi in mwanji. It takes personal advantage. It fears people more than God. It avoids necessary truth. It feels pride. Instead of helping people become more Christ-like, flattery often strengthens their pride. If a preacher has had a bad day at the office, you come to him and say, "Hey, Abusa Newton, that's the best sermon I've ever heard." Instead of saying, "Abusa, I'll be praying for you. It looks like this week you had a busy schedule." So flattery tells people what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear. But again, why is this sin so sinful? Because it is dishonest. It breaks the ninth commandment. What is the ninth commandment? Thou shalt not bear false witness. Flattery violates the ninth commandment because it distorts the truth. God delights in truthful speech. Flattery replaces honesty with manipulation. Flattery manipulates people. Love serves. Flattery uses. You know what we do sometimes? Maybe because of our political affiliation? We say, "Sito kusinda president, eh? We're not changing." Rather than speaking another person's good, it seeks personal gain. This is why I love the UK, the US politics. I've seen people belonging to the same party rebuking their leader for doing what is wrong. I'm yet to see it here. If you rebuke your president, perhaps what's going to happen is, by the time you finish your speech, somebody's already coming asking for car keys. Yes? No? Because we seek personal gain, we are willing to see things go down south. We're going to flatter people even if we know what they're doing is not right. This is dishonest. This is dishonest. And this encourages pride. James says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Flattery often inflates ego rather than directing people to God's grace. True encouragement points people to Christ. Flattery points people to themselves. Flattery is sinful. You know why again? It values human approval over God's approval. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 1 verse 10, if I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Flattery reveals that we often desire human acceptance more than faithfulness to God. Is this true of you? Where you see your brother, your sister, and then you're flattering them. Brother, this is a powerful jacket. Where did you buy this? Right? By the way, no, that one is a good jacket. And I'm not flattering you. But how does flattery damage our relationships as Christians? Again, even flattery destroys trust. Once people discover they have been manipulated, confidence is lost. They begin questioning every compliment. Of course, some people have got problems themselves. They have some, I don't know what should I call it. Should I say it? Some trauma whereby nobody has complimented them. Now you compliment them. Now, no, brother, take the compliment. The jacket is good. And I don't want anything from you. Flattery prevents spiritual growth. It prevents spiritual growth. People who are constantly flattered may never hear loving corrections they desperately need. They remain spiritually immature. I mean, you always come in the middle of Bible hour. And what do you tell them? What do you tell Sister Tant? Happy to see you. And esteem. The Lord be with you, sister. But we need to be able to give loving correction. Otherwise, we remain spiritually immature. This robs God of glory. Flattery robs God of his glory. Because flattery replaces honesty with image management. Image management. People begin telling one another only what is pleasant. Truth disappears. Authentic fellowship suffers. Let me just share this. Wherever I see people have got authentic relationships, they're really tight, the relationship is really strong, is because they have had some difficult conversations. They have confronted each other. They have corrected each other. But many times, if we're honest, we remain superficial, shallow, because you know this person needs to hear something in love, but we don't do it. We save face. Christianity was not supposed to be done like that. You see in Galatians 2, today's reading for those in the Bible reading together, where Paul, who was kind of like newish to the apostolic team, he's rebuking who? The apostle Peter. Said, this is wrong, brother. He was not flattering him. That's what love demands. Love demands that. It's in the Bible. You know what that does? Gives God the glory. The opposite robs God of his glory. Flattery often gives to people the praise that ultimately belongs to God. And again, why is this acceptable? Because it sounds loving. Unlike criticism, flattery feels pleasant. People enjoy receiving compliments. Our culture rewards approval. Many people crave affirmation. Flattery feeds that pride, that desire. Because it often produces immediate results. It appears to work. Because people who flatter frequently receive influence, promotions, friendships, or opportunities. We see this clearly, of course, in the political sphere, but it goes beyond the political sphere. It hides selfish motives. The words sound generous. The hearts seek personal benefit. That makes flattery difficult to detect. Jerry Bridges says, flattery is giving insincere praise for our own advantage, rather than for the good of the other person. You and I, I've seen this, somebody will move from one party to the other where they're praising somebody. Now what, when they've shifted, they say, no, I regret saying whatever I said. But again, the gospel is the answer to the problem of flattery. The gospel frees us from the need to manipulate people for acceptance, because our acceptance is already secure in Christ. If there's any truth I can try to pump to you as I try to pump it to myself, be secure in what Christ has accomplished for you on the cross. Because I tell you, if you live for the approval of people, you will never, ever, ever, ever be satisfied. People are complex beings. What they like about you today, they may not like about you tomorrow. Jesus never flattered anybody. He showed genuine compassion, encouraged the humble, and honored faithful obedience. Yet, he never exaggerated praise or softened the truth to gain followers. He loved people enough to tell them what they needed to hear, even when it was costly. He told the religious elite, the cartel, if you will, and then he called them brood of vipers. So before offering praise, you should ask, is what I'm saying true? Is this jacket really good? Am I exaggerating? Am I trying to gain something? Does this point the person toward Christ or toward themselves? Am I speaking from love or from self-interest? Friends, a church that rejects flattery and embraces truthful encouragement becomes a community marked by honesty, humility, trust, and genuine love. Such speech reflects the God who desires truth in the inward being. Are we there yet? Is that where we are? Where people around here can say, your words are full of grace. Your words are seasoned with salt. If we're honest, every one of us stands guilty before God. Not only because of what we've done with our hands, but because of what we've done with our tongues. Some of us have gossiped about people who trusted us. Others have flattered a brother or sister. Not because we loved them, but because we wanted something from them. James says the tongue is a fire. It's a fire. And that fire has burned friendships, families, and churches. But our problem, I believe, is deeper than our speech. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Our mouths reveal our hearts. Our problem is not our mouths. It's our hearts. But thankfully, Jesus has come so that he can remove the heart of flesh. No. Heart of stone. Right? And give us a heart of flesh. And if I could have a heart of flesh, you'll be able to live consistent with the gospel. Paul rebuked Peter because he said, Peter, you are not walking consistently with the gospel. Gossip, slander, and flattery is you and I not being consistent with the gospel. This is why behavior modification is not enough. You can remain silent. In other words, some people are doing the gossiping. You can remain silent and still have a heart that delights in hearing gossip. You can stop criticizing people publicly while continuing to assassinate their character, at least in your thoughts. Only the gospel can change the heart from which our words flow. Now, sitting in this room, I know some of you have been hurt. You may still be bleeding. But again, the solution is the gospel of Jesus Christ. May the gospel of Jesus Christ give you the freedom to extend forgiveness to those that may have hurt you. But also, I pray, you may also seek forgiveness from God to those that you may have hurt. 1 Peter 2:23 is a very challenging verse, and I end with that one. You know, religious leaders spread lies about Jesus. They called him someone who's demon-possessed. Probably maybe some of us, most of us, I don't think we have been called names, but probably maybe not necessarily you are demon-possessed. They called Jesus a glutton. They called Jesus a blasphemer. False witnesses testified against him. And the crowd believed the lies. The only truly righteous man who ever lived was condemned by the sinful speech of others. Yet Jesus did not retaliate. You know what he did? When he was reviled, he did not revile back. The text in 1 Peter 2:23 says, he entrusted himself to a just God. Listen, after this conversation, much might not change. People sin against you. You're probably going to sin against others. But my prayer is we examine our own hearts as to where we stand with this sin. Because we know Jesus Christ went to the cross to bear not only the punishment for our sinful deeds, but also for every sinful word we have ever spoken. Forgiveness is found, is available. Now imagine if our church would look like We look as if the gospel truly governed our conversations. Imagine a church where people knew their struggles would not become tomorrow's discussion. A church where reputations are protected, where correction was given lovingly and privately, where encouragement was sincere, and every conversation made Christ look glorious. Such a church will be a powerful witness to a watching world. May the Lord make us that church. Amen. Father, thank you for this time. This is, Lord, a difficult topic. But Lord, we pray you help us to be a people that are governed by the gospel, shaped by the gospel, that a grace that has been given us will be extended, Lord, to others, especially those that may sin against us. Lord, forgive me for my sin. I have sinned terribly in all these areas, gossiping, slandering, and flattering. How I pray, Lord, that you will cleanse me and you help me to be conscious of the fact that every careless word will be judged. May you help me, Lord, to be the one whose speech is used to build others, not to tear them down. Ask for your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.